start with Mr. Taylor, and each of you have 5 minutes. So fire away.
Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, hopefully they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman, but I haven't seen the board light up that he's calling in, so it's going to be just you and me until he shows up, or, oh, no, there he is. Well, anyway, he'll be with us in just a moment or two, and we can begin discussing what's going on financially. But we are living in the most dangerous, exciting, incredible financial times in the history of my life, in fact, in the history of our country, for you are seeing the demise of the value of our currency, which will lead to the impoverishment of so many of our people who have no idea what's going on, and people who certainly do not understand financing. They don't understand how banks create money out of nothing and create artificial prosperity. It's sort of like, well, if you could simply go down and borrow all the money you wanted to from the bank, you could live very well, as long as you're never worried about how you're going to pay it back or what was going to happen to all the things you might have put up for security for the money you loaned when it became obvious that you could no longer borrow the money. And this is exactly what we're doing today. 43 cents out of every dollar the American government spent has to be borrowed. We don't have the money coming in. And so basically they're going to have to go out and borrow the money for 43 cents on whatever we're spending. Basically, the government takes in about $2.2 trillion a year. That's what we take in from taxation. And of that, about $600 to $700 billion goes for Social Security, $700 billion for Medicare and Medicaid, and about $700 billion for the military, and that's $2.1 trillion. $2.1 trillion. And then of course all the rest of the government expenses on top of that, and certainly we put out $50 billion a year for education. Do you really think we're getting our money's worth in education? The most recent studies on education show that the SAT scores, college entrance examinations for our 1.6 million children this last year, our scores have dropped in both reading and writing and arithmetic, and they're falling. They've fallen just this last 2 years. And they were poor to begin with. Only 25% of the children who graduate from our high schools are ready to go to college. And they shouldn't be going to college because they didn't get an adequate education, thanks to the fact that we have the federal government involved. We never had these problems before we had the federal government involved. And there's no problem facing America's education today that a new government program won't make worse. And they're deliberately dumbing down our children, both with the educational program and poisoning their minds with the mercury and the aluminum and the aspartame in the vaccines and in so many other things, the fluoride in the water. They know it lowers the intelligence, especially when it's the hydrofluorosilicic acid, because that pulls the lead out of the brass fixtures and out of the solder and the water lines. And our kids are getting lead encephalopathy, especially black ones, because for some reason why the level of lead in their blood goes up 6 times, whereas it only doubles in white kids. But they're all getting lead encephalopathy, and they know what they're doing to our children. And there's no one is going to tell the American people that. And if you want the background, it's Dr. Roger Masters, Dr. Robert Masters at Dartmouth, and we have his papers if you want to see them. But you know, to date, no one has ever actually called and asked to verify what I say. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're going to have to get Bob Chapman on the line here because you don't want to hear my dissertation. I'm sure you want to hear what Bob has to say about what's going on financially. And we are in very, very difficult financial times.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Because Greece was very disturbed because suddenly Turkish oil rigs were dwelling in Greek waters, but they were being actually protected by warships, Turkish warships. Well, of course, Turkey has pretty well broken relationships with Israel, so Israel now, of course, is going to go ahead and help Greece, sending fighter planes and other equipment, military equipment to Greece by which they could confront Turkey. This is something I haven't heard of. In fact, I hadn't heard of it at all, but it certainly sounds logical, knowing the history of Turkish-Greek relations. And now, of course, Israel certainly wants to be friends with people who are now enemies of their enemies, and Turkey is now an enemy of Greece. Turkey is now an enemy of Israel. Why did that happen? Why the CIA, of course, has been funding the group that took control of Turkey, Mr. Gulen, who was actually expelled from Turkey because he wanted to overthrow the secular government there. He was brought to the United States. He financed the overthrow of the secular government in Turkey. Now they're controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood or Islamic Jihad. They've broken relationships with Israel, and we have certainly another hotbed of contention over there. And the CIA is doing everything they can to foster this instability, both in the Near East and the Middle East. And they're behind, of course, the overthrow of the Egyptian government. They're behind the overthrow of the Tunisian government. They're behind the overthrow of the Libyan government. They're behind the effort to overthrow the current Syrian government. They've overthrown the Turkish government. They've destabilized Lebanon, and we're preparing the best enemies American tax dollars and drug money can buy. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, you're right about all of those things, of course. And, you know, as we've talked about the actions of the Illuminists over the years, we've always said, you and I, but very few others, that if you look at the history of these financial crooks, you'll find that each time they get into a problem, what they do is they have another war. And the situation in the United States, England, and Europe in particular are very bad. And I see no solution financially in Europe right now. So what they've got to do is have a war. And that would distract everybody. It would allow the banks to say to the countries, look, you know, we got a war going here, and this money is needed for the countries to not go bankrupt, and we have to defend them. And that, hopefully, from their point of view, would cause the Germans to vote for that. Now, the situation in Germany is that the Bundesbank has said today, well, actually yesterday now, that that there shouldn't be any new money raised to bail these countries out like Greece. And the German Senate, which is called the Bundesrat, they have okayed the usage of additional funds. Four or five nations have as well, Luxembourg, Belgium, some others. And they have got to wait for the vote in the Bundestag. And the Bundestag is the House of Representatives. And that's going to be on the 29th of September. Now, the CDU, which is the major party and control, Christian Democratic Union, Mrs. Merkel is head chancellor. They have lost one way or the other six regional elections in a row since March. And so they're not in very good shape. In fact, I don't think there's any chance they're going to get reelected as a party. But Mrs. Merkel, who takes orders from the Illuminati, she wants to find the ability to get the Bundestag to increase the amount of money that could be lent. And she's going to have a hard time doing that, especially with the election in Berlin last Sunday where they lost again. Actually, they didn't lose. The Free Democrats did, and they were their partners. So what we're looking at here is a very feeble CDU. And I think the question really boils down to is how many of the members of the House, the Bundestag, are in the clutches of the bankers? And in Bavaria, they have a, you call it a sister party, like a differing member of the It's similar to the CDU, and they've always pretty much voted together and ruled together. The party in Bavaria already has 25 members who said they're going to vote against it. Now, they're getting all kinds of heat, and so isn't all of the other politicians in the country. And I think the politicians are going to have to decide if they want to return to office, they've got to vote against this thing. If they vote for it, then what we're talking about is perhaps anarchy in Germany. And they'll get their payoff, of course. The banks will pay them off if they're still in business. And I think, you know, it's kind of a toss-up. But I think the bankers, they feel that they're not going to get that vote. And that's why I think they're preparing for war. The minute they think that they're going to get the vote, if that happens, they'll stop the war or stop it starting. And so all bets are off. You're going to wait and see.
Well, we're living in exciting times. Of course, when you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. Is it going to be a war between Greece and Turkey? Is Israel going to be involved in that? Is this going to be a major conflict there, certainly with the new countries over there in the Near East and Middle East now that are coming under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood, which incidentally was originally financed by the British intelligence back in 1928 and has always been funded in large parts surreptitiously by British intelligence, by the CIA, created the best enemy money could buy. You must understand it's the oldest technique in the world. You finance the enemy if you want a war. That's, of course, why we finance communism since its inception. That's why we finance the Nazi movement. American corporations built the weapons for the Nazis all during the 1930s once hit Adolf Hitler came to power. But we can't let the American people know that, because it's covered in this number of books we carry that you're never going to see discussed on ABC, CBS, and NBC. Well, basically, of course, the financial situation, though, in Europe, Bob, doesn't look very good. We hear that even Germany, which has been doing very well financially, their exports are cutting down somewhat. So do the other countries over in Europe, which traditionally buy German goods, aren't buying them as much, because everybody over there is really very uncertain. What do you hear from your correspondents over in Europe about the European economy? Is it doing better or worse than we are?
It's leading, and it's worse than the U.S. economy at this time. And it's degenerating, and it will continue to do so. And this problem, financial problem, isn't going to go away. War isn't going to stop the problem. It'll just delay it again. And if it's a major war, which would involve many other countries, well, the debt will be just sort of brushed into the back room someplace. But they're in tough shape, and it's going to get worse. We get a couple of letters from a couple of subscribers, and one said that the employment and labor situation is terrible. And then
this is in Germany.
Another,
is that in Germany?
In Germany.
Right.
Yeah. Then another one said relatively the same thing. And, you know, this has been going on for a long time. And it's very, very difficult to get a job. And when you do, it's on their terms, the employer's terms. And very often they want you to go to another city to work. Rather than where you live, because they just don't have any business to add you on to there. And so if you live in Berlin, you might get a job in Paderborn or in Siegen or in Köln or in Frankfurt or whatever. And so it's not good, and it's going down. People have lost confidence in their system, their government. They don't want the euro. Germany never wanted it. They don't want the EU. They've never wanted it. And I think big things are going to happen over the next few years, and it'll be all those problems will be reflected in the price of gold and silver.
I think it's important that people understand that basically you have a ruling elite over there. Bob calls them the Illuminati. I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness. They're all the same. They tie into the CFR, the Club of Rome, the Bilderbergs, the Trilateralists. They want a world government. Germans don't want a world government. The European people don't want a world government. But the elite want to establish this United States of Europe. The fundamental building block for this is the United States of the world that they want. Of course, all the regional governments eventually joining together. The German people don't understand. The European people don't understand. But they don't want it. And I don't think God does either. Oh, Bob, you go right ahead.
Well, I think as far as Europe's concerned, it's really up in the air until the end of the month. And I don't think they'll start hostilities.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
He's got all sorts of foundations and other vehicles by which he doesn't pay taxes, but he wants to raise your taxes if you're in the upper income tax bracket. And, of course, remember, it was people of great wealth who put Barack Obama in power. His largest contributors were from the banking industry. They put him in power. They control him. When Barack Obama wanted a new chief of staff, where did he go? Out of a nation of 300 million people, the one man he picked to be his new chief of staff was a man named William Daley, who just happened to come from J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. Do you really think that that is, Sidney, just accidental? So many of the people who surround Barack Obama are coming from the major banking industries and people of great wealth, and that's what it's all about. These are the people who want an all-powerful government. Why? Because they have enough money to buy and sell the politicians. And that's why in Washington, D.C. today, we have the best politicians that money could buy. And why in the White House today, we have politicians that money could buy. He keeps talking about taxing the rich, of course, but in the final analysis, as Bob says, they know this is not going to get to the Republicans. But it sounds good. 40 cents, 43 cents out of every dollar the government spends has to be borrowed, and that's going to continue. They'll just keep turning out money and churning out money. A path to disaster, to the destruction of our monetary system, and that's what they want. Believe me, the people of great wealth are investing in gold and silver and telling you just to stay in your dollars and your bonds and your stocks and your pension funds and your annuities and in everything else denominated in dollars as they progressively destroy the value of the currency. The current inflation rate, according to Bob, is over 11%. And the government, well, the same government that lied to us about Pat Tillman, the same government that lied to us about the Gulf of Tonkin incident, the same government that lied to us about Jessica Lynch, the same government is telling us we have an inflation rate of maybe 2%, and do you really believe them? Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, Warren Buffett's foundation is circa 1843, I think it is. And what they do is they say, well, our money is in the foundation, and it's going to be given out, blah, 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 when, in fact, they never relinquish control. They still control, and they can take money out of it as well. And what happens is that, like in the case of Buffett, there's Buffett and Gates in a foundation, and then Gates will carry on, and when Buffett dies, and so on and so forth. And I've seen a lot of this over the years, and it's a way for the Brotherhood of Doctors to continue to control the wealth that they say that they help these people create by rigging everything. And that is the truth. Now, let me tell you what the strategy is. The strategy is they know that the tax increases for the rich are not going to pass. So what they're going to say is the Democrats. They're going to say, well, look at what these people have done. We gave you a perfectly good way of funding, getting more jobs. And the Republicans don't went and did this terrible thing. So what are we going to do now? Well, what they're going to do is take about $1 trillion out of Medicare and Social Security, and they're going to fund that. That's what this is all about.
And certainly I think that anybody who is on Social Security has to understand that they're going to cut back on your benefits. They're going to cut back on availability of medical care. They're going to ration health care. You've got to start thinking about, of course, how you're going to provide your own health care. You're not going to be able to get the care you need. Are there going to be the death panels are going to decide who will live and who will die? They will not know anything about you. They will simply send out directives to the doctor, and he will either go along with it or he will be fined heavily. And if he defies them a second time and tries to save his patients, he'll be sent to prison. This is where we're headed in America. You say this can never happen in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we have 56 million Americans already retired on Social Security and Medicare. Another 75 to 79 million are retiring. Where do you think the money's coming from? Believe me, there is no Medicare fairy.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Legislation. It's already being considered in the Senate, which they're going to be able to take over the 401 pension funds. And whether that'll include IRAs, I don't know, but certainly the 401 plans, after all, you got that income tax free, because of the benevolent government. But of course, a lot of people aren't investing that money wisely. So what the government wants to do is simply take that money and issue a guaranteed annuity. backed by the full faith and credit of the United States. And if you have any confidence in the credit of the United States, it has to borrow 43 cents out of every dollar it spends. Or if you have faith in a government that lied to you about the Gulf of Tonkin incident, where, of course, they used that to get us into a war in Vietnam so they could bring in the Great Society and so they could kill 58,000 Americans. They had to do that. We had to have a spectacle to detract the attention of the American people from what was going on. And if you doubt that is the case, let me suggest the January 1967 issue of Foreign Affairs magazine. January 1967 issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, the article, The End of Either Or, by McGeorge Bundy, member of the Satanic Luciferian Skull and Bone Society, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, chief national security advisor to President Kennedy. January 1967 issue, lead issue, Foreign Affairs magazine, where he tells you, in essence, Vietnam is a distraction. It's all about our domestic policies here and education. And if you believe in the great due departures in health and education and welfare, you won't say we ought to get out of Vietnam, because exactly the opposite is the case. And it was, and we continued the war another 7 useless years and lost the war. But we got Medicare. We got Medicaid. We, of course, got abortion on demand. They were able to get that. They already had, because the took God and prayer out of our schools, centralized power in Washington, D.C. Vietnam was a great diversion. That's why they lied to us about the Gulf of Tonkin incident. And that's why they've lied to us about what happened on September 11th, so they could get us into this another fruitless war and senseless war in the Middle East. And we've been fighting in Afghanistan for 10 long years, as of next month. And we've only lost about 1,600 men. Only lost about 1,600 men after a 10-year war. Do you think this is really a war or simply a military exercise with 250,000 men fighting 50 to 100 members of Al-Qaeda? What's wrong with this picture? Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But watch this legislation body is talking about very, very carefully, because, of course, they want to take over the pension funds, the American people's pension funds, and give them an annuity backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. Remember, that's the same government that lied to us about Pat Tillman, that lied to us about Jessica Lentz, that lied to us about the Gulf of Tonkin incident. It's not our government, it is their government. It belongs to the Brotherhood of Darkness. Before we go to Tony, wife Chris, we certainly wanted Bob to get this information out on how, if you're out in the listening audience, you can get a sample copy of the International Forecaster. And if you have a question for Bob, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. We're entering into a most difficult and dangerous time financially in my lifetime, and I've been following this thing for a good long time, on almost half a century. And believe me, why the America we've known is not going to return again. The wonderful and prosperous America, because, of course, this is all controlled by the government, and 43 cents out of every dollar we spend as a government has to be borrowed. How long can you continue doing that? Bob, how can people get the sample copy of the International Forecaster and subscribe?
Well, the forecast is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish on Wednesdays and Saturdays by email. Runs around 40 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. We like to think that each week everything that you need to know is in this publication. You can get a free introductory copy by going to theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, forecaster.com. You can also go to www.int, InforCaster.com. InforCaster.com.
Go right ahead.
Okay. For those of you who would like to ask questions, or if you'd like to get a copy of the publication, or if you would like to get a copy of our latest recommendations of gold and silver shares, you can email us at bob@intforecaster.com. bob@intforecaster.com. And for those of you who would like to call collect, you can call 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Tony calling from SoCal. Hi, Tony. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. But first, I just wanted to mention you left off Waco and Dickie Weaver when you're naming certain government atrocities.
Okay, fine. I apologize.
I did want to speak up for those poor lost souls.
Okay, fine.
I have a question, but it deals with currency, and I didn't think this was off topic or anything, but the question is for both of you. It seems like to me the last time our country was like totally brought down financially was before the Revolutionary War, when Lord Grenville and King George teamed up and they went through with what was called the Currency Act. And they destroyed all the paper money, had to go to gold and silver, led to abject poverty and ruination for this country, and then it led to the Revolutionary War. Now, I'm just wondering, is my thinking correct on this, or am I making an error somewhere? And that's my question. Thank you.
Bob, thoughts?
By metallic. They used gold and silver, and that's what messed it up.
Okay, let's go to Rich then, calling from Aromas. And hi, Rich, you have a question for our guest. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Question for Bob.
Yes, Grandpa Liberty, I'm glad you're feeling here. Bob, I just got your letter today. I haven't had time to open it. But my question is what about the stock market? It went down 100 points today. What do you think? To start seeing some big downturn. Do you think in October, like it did in 29, or do you think it might be later, maybe in November? I know you said that the government manipulates the market if it's seeing it go down too far. What's your gut feeling on that? What do you think the market's going to start going kaput?
Well, I think you have to except the fact that the markets are all manipulated by the United States government and others. And if that's accepted, then what you know is that the markets do not do what they're supposed to do. And there's no natural free markets left. They have not been for a long time. And so when the market should go down, the government steps in through their emissary, so to speak, and they make the market stop going down. Like today, the market was off 250 points. And miraculously, all of a sudden, it was off 108. It's very common. It happens all the time. And it's going to continue to happen. No.
So you don't see like maybe in October, November, it might turn down. I mean, can the government stop? Can the government stop a full-on crash? Do you think?
Absolutely, Rich. You have to understand the working team, the working group on financial markets. Look them up on the internet. The plunge protection team. The working group on financial markets manipulates the market. It's totally rigged, and whatever you think, you're probably wrong. They condition your mind. They make you think one thing's going to happen, and then they always surprise you because they make money because, of course, most people are on the wrong side of the market. Thanks much for calling, and let's go to David calling from upstate New York. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Hi, David. What part of upstate New York are you from?
The Capital District area, Schenectady, Troy, Albany area.
Okay, very good. Then you're listening to our station up there. So basically, when we have a large station there and in Attica that and in Utica, which are broadcasting. So basically, do you have a question or comment for Bob?
Yeah, I'm listening from Cherry Valley, a radio station out of Cherry Valley. I have a couple of questions for Bob. My first question is, how secure are the GE pension plans?
All right. How secure is the GE pension plan? Any thoughts on that, Bob?
Well, GE is one of the top two Illuminati companies in America. The other one's Coca-Cola. And the chances of their pension plan going down is probably much smaller than others because they're in a control mode. When the government was giving out TARP funds, they gave billions of dollars to GE, which they really didn't need. And they went out and speculated with it, and they have all inside information, which they create. And so what they did is make a lot of money. And so I think of all pension plans, I don't know what the funding is. You know, the funding could be 85%, which usually is sufficient. On the other hand, if it's 40 or 50%, it's in trouble. So what you have to find out is how is the pension plan funded? And do they have any derivatives? Are they holding any mortgage bonds? There's a number of things you got to look for. So generally speaking, because of their position, I'd say it'll be okay. But then again, if the government takes over all the private pension plans, it's not going to be okay. So it's a hard one to call. I mean, if you ask me about XYZ Corporation, then it would be easy. Because what I tell you is they don't stand a chance. GE does.
Okay, David, does that answer your question?
Yes, and just one other quick question. When does the federal government plan on making major cuts in regard with the entitlement programs?
Are you talking about Social Security and Medicare?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't call them entitlement programs because I paid for them. So they owe me. So they aren't entitling anything to me. With that said, they're in the process of doing that with the group of 12, the Super Congress, which bypasses Congress until they're ready for a vote. And when the vote comes, you can't debate it, you can't amend it, you can't filibuster it, you can't do anything. You either go to vote for or against. And so that bypasses Congress. My guess is there, going to cut back Social Security and Medicare probably by about maybe $700 billion to $1 trillion. And I don't know what the numbers are going to come up with, but they want to destroy it. They want to chop it up. They'll be back later to do the rest of the job.
And they're going to raise the age of retirement for Social Security. You can be sure of that. They're going to have to find means of a certainty of maybe taking Social Security disability out of Social Security. They're going to find means of massively cutting this. And if they certainly can always, of course, destroy Social Security by inflating. So you'll get your money. It just won't buy much of anything. But believe me, if you're relying upon the government to look after you in your own old age, why I would forget about it. These programs always work, and they work very, very efficiently until, of course, we have far more people in retirement than we have working. And then what do you do? Right now we have 1.7 people working for every person who is retired. within probably 15, 20 years, we'll have one person working for every person retired. And so we're going to have to take a large segment of that one working person's salary and income to pay for that person who's retired. And the whole system begins to collapse at that time. Anything else you wanted to ask, David?
I think that's about it.
We're in real trouble, and please get those people up there in upstate New York to listen to our program. I know it's late, but we need to get them informed, or they can simply get onto our internet. They can listen 24 hours a day. Won't get much accomplished, but they'll sure learn a lot that may very well save them from an awful lot of suffering later. Hey, thanks very much for calling, and let's go to George, who's calling from Toronto. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295. And we have two Georges who call us from Toronto. Is this the George you called this afternoon, or is this the other George?
Well, I did call this afternoon.
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead. It's a different audience, so go ahead. Do you have a question?
Yes, one quick question. Bob, can you differentiate between a fascist government and a corporatist fascist government, the term you use?
All fascist governments are corporatist fascist governments. So that really is the final name and designation. And what does it mean? It's a form of socialism controlled by corporations, which tell government what to do. And that it's as simple as that.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought it was. I just wasn't quite sure.
And it's really sort of a means of setting up a feudalistic system. And this is basically where we're headed. And whether you call it communism, whether you call it corporate socialism or corporate fascism, it doesn't really matter what you call it. It's all the same thing. Thanks so much for calling, George. Let's go quickly to Suzette, who's calling from Monterey. Suzette, you have a question for Bob.
I do, Dr. Stan. Hi. My question is this. There's a bill in front of Governor Brown here in California called AB 750. It's a bill that is going to investigate the State Bank of North Dakota model.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Okay, go right ahead. The question again, Suzette.
Well, there's a banking system in...
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
That provides the funding and the loans. You have to understand that there's no shortage of money to lend. The big banks are sitting on $3 trillion. The corporations are sitting on $2 trillion. They're all in on the scam, and they're not lending money, and they're strangling our economy. The state bank in Sydney and North Dakota is creating the funds, as banks do, and letting it out and stimulating the economy. And the economy in North Dakota is doing well. The key, of course, to having a prosperous economy in the individual states would be state-run banks. A great idea, and we'll have to wait to see how it plays out here in California, or whether, of course, Governor Brown is the finest politician money could buy, under the control of the bankers who do not want effective banking. They want banking they can control. Any last thoughts before we let you go, Bob?
No, I think you covered it, and it's a good thing, and let's hope it works for California.
God bless, and thanks so much for being with us. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Okay, bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was one of our favorite guests, Bob Chapman. And this is the time when I need to remind our listeners, number one, that we're having an all-day conference here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay on the 23rd of October. You're going to have to call and get your reservations. We're serving lunch. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We're bringing in great speakers. It's going to be all day long. Doors are going to open, I think, at 7:30 in the morning, and we'll be going until certainly about 5:30 or 6 in the evening. It'll be a great conference, as well, I think they are every year, but that I'm a little bit prejudiced. So then, of course, we want to remind you that our ministry, and it is a ministry, we're not tax deductible, but we are a ministry because our major purpose is hopefully to bring people into a personal relationship with our Lord, understanding all these terrible things are happening. But this is all part of that eternal spiritual battle. And, of course, there are powerful spiritual forces aligned against freedom. They are basically fighting within the other dimension. There is another dimension out there where this great battle between good and evil is being fought, because we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So this is the time, of course, we hope that many of you will get hold of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, get hold of our talks on the dark secret and the forbidden secret, and, of course, get the syllabuses as you go with them. We have so many talks. We have so many four-tape sets. If you want to know the truth about what O.J. Simpson, what really happened to O.J. Simpson, want to know the truth about the murder of Martin Luther King, the murder of Bobby Kennedy, the murder of Jack Kennedy. We have, of course, Sydney books, and we have Sydney four tape sets or four CD sets on all of this information. And we certainly have an excellent DVD on the murder of Bobby Kennedy. We have an excellent DVD on the murder of John Kennedy, put out by our good friend Bob Fletcher. Certainly we have certainly books written by the man who was hired by Martin Luther King's family to bring a trial against a man named Lloyd Jowers, who was part of the CIA plan to kill Martin Luther King. And, of course, when the jury heard the trial, away they found that the government was responsible. And, of course, we have the book written by Mr. Pepper. We have a four tape sets, two of them on the murder of John Kennedy. It was a conspiracy. And it's only now, of course, the truth is coming out. We have an excellent DVD on the murder of John Kennedy put out by Bob Fletcher. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we are primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we try to get the information out here 5 hours a day, every day, on stations across America. So we ask you to pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, the illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend William Federer. And hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Great, Dr. Stan. Great to be with you.
And you're back there in Washington, D.C., giving an address before Concerned Women for America?
Yes, actually, that was a couple of days ago. I'm in Ohio right now.
Okay, fine. So basically speaking to another group of women, but certainly is a nationally known, internationally known speaker. And what are we going to be covering this evening?
Well, I have written a book called Change to Chains. It's the 6,000-year quest for control. And we see sort of it coming to pass every day. So I document how the typical form of government in world history is a monarchy, a dictatorship, and there's been about two dozen attempts to have a government without a king, but it seems like after every crisis there's a gradual reconcentration of power back into the hands ultimately of one person. So he who dictates is effectively a dictator.
And of course the name of the book is From Change, C-H-A-N-G-E, to Chains, C-H-A-I-N-S. So From Chains to Chains, Chains. Go right ahead, William.
For those that hadn't heard about the book before, but I bring out how there's only about 6,000 years of recorded human history, that any world civilization textbook opens up chapter 1 about 3 or 4,000 B.C., with Egyptian hieroglyphics and the Sumerian cuneiform on clay tablets in the Mesopotamian Valley. And so from 4,000 B.C. to 2080 is about 6,000 years. And I point out that 6,000 years really is not that long. It's just 60 people living 100 years each back to back. So we've all met somebody or known somebody that's lived 100 years. And if you have one die, another born, and you do that 60 times, 60 people times 100 years each, you go back 6,000 years. And the civilizations, I spend a little time, I talk about each major civilization in world history, from Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and the Assyrians and Babylonians, and to the different caliphs and the Byzantine emperors and all the way up to the present. And as we see that you drop a bunch of people in the woods, you wind up with an Indian chief, and you drop a bunch of people in an inner city, you wind up with a gang leader. And so you drop a bunch of kids on a playground, you wind up with a bully hogging the ball. That it's sort of the normal way that the default setting for human government. So we study how there's birth orders and, you know, different kids act different ways. There's books where we study behavior and see that in every high school you got your jocks and the geeks and the gossip girls. And so human behavior sort of acts the same. It's just, it also acts the same with government. And I point out how the normal form of government is a king, a dictator, and it's what's called a patronage system. So if you're friends with that dictator, you're more equal. If you're not friends with that dictator, you're less equal. And if you're an enemy of that dictator, you're dead. It's called treason. So there's no idea of you being equal in the eyes of a creator. You're equal because of your relationship with one person. And
Hold that thought. I guess William Federer and the book From Change to Chains. Go right ahead, William.
So we see our country moving in the direction, if you're friends with the president and his agenda, then you get an Obamacare waiver. If you're not friends with the president, well, then you get your car dealership shut down and your guitar factory raided. If you're an enemy of the president, you're dead. It's called treason. In other words, you get character assassinated in the media. And so we see the idea of equality is not a concept. It's your relationship with this one person, the dictator. And so we see that America, something really unusual happened, that you're equal because you're made in the image of a creator. And this is very, very rare in world history. In the book, I point out how civilizations, they sort of go the route of an athlete. You know, when an athlete's young, he does his push-ups and he's focused and disciplined. And then the athlete finally wins in the championship and rules for a while. And then the athlete gets a little lazy and exercises less and gets involved in, you know, drugs and sex and, you know, how the typical news article is the athlete does stuff they shouldn't, and then they end up getting conquered, and another athlete takes over ruling for a while. And so when an empire is young, it's focused and disciplined and patriotic, and there's a common ethic and morality, and there's this idea of we're the best and we want to conquer and be the biggest empire in the world. And then it's usually followed by a period where they do win, and it's the dominant culture. But then we see that it's followed by this squandering and wasting of the position on a lot of indulgent debt and immorality and lack of patriotism. And so that's sort of what's happening in the world today. America has been a leader in the world, but now we're becoming indulgent and lazy and sort of losing our edge. But it's a time for us to wake up. Hopefully we can have another shot to turn things around, but it's pretty clear that there's a momentum moving against us. But it's a book, Change to Chains.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney of Wim just talks about how nations and individuals go through cycles and how athletes start out very young and athletic, and they work hard, and they become very perfective, and they really become the champions in their position. But then, of course, they begin to let down their guard, and they begin to become indulgent, and they get involved in all sorts of things they shouldn't, and they don't exercise, and then they lose, and, of course, somebody else comes along and takes over. Well, the same thing happens with nations. And basically, at one time when America was a young, vibrant nation, we didn't have government regulations. We didn't have government providing for the people. We had a government without a balanced budget and a stable currency, but that's all changed. And basically now we have a government that provides for the people, and a government, of course, that regulates the people because the government is so concerned. Well, that really is not the case. And we go from war to Sydney. And then, of course, we start getting defeated in wartime, and we fight phony wars. For instance, today we have over in Afghanistan almost 250,000 troops with our 90,000 American troops and 100,000 contractors and 46,000 NATO troops, and there's only about 50 to 100 members of Al-Qaeda over there. If you doubt that, go to your search engine and type in Leon Panetta, 50-100 members Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan, or they do the same thing with General James Jones, 50-100 members Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan. You'll find out what we're saying is right. Explain to me why we need 250,000 men to fight 50 to 100 members of Al-Qaeda. We've been fighting for 10 long, bloody years in Afghanistan. We've lost about 1,600, maybe at the most 1,700 men in total, fighting for 10 long years. What's wrong with this scenario? Go right ahead, William.
Well, you're brilliant, and you bring out some very important points. One of the things I do is look at the kingdoms of the past, and Athens was a democracy, and demos means people, and ocracy means to rule. And the founding fathers in America looked back in history at other different times when the people tried to set up a government without a king. And Athens in Greece, about 500 B.C., had a leader named Solon, S-O-L-O-N, and he set up a form of government where the people ruled without the king. And then Solon left and left the people in charge, and lo and behold, they had to figure out how to run the government, and it was sort of chaotic, the democracy, everybody having a say in everything, but it worked. But a couple interesting things, they developed theater, and you think, well, isn't this cute, the Greeks developed theater? Well, actually, it had another purpose. You know, if it's a monarchy, you want to lobby the king with whatever your issue is, and if it's the people ruling, well, then you want to lobby the people. Well, how do you present your agenda to a whole city full of people? Well, it's called theater, and so you extol some points of view, and then you ridicule other points of view, and you read the plays, Aristophanes. It's a comedy. It reads very much like Jay Leno and David Letterman. You're, you know, poking fun at the politicians of the day. And so from that time till now, theater has always been political. And so today, it'll have somebody is the hero in the movie or the play or the sitcom. And if they have somebody that maybe is an alternative lifestyle type person, and they're the hero, and then the enemy in the movie is somebody that has traditional values, and lo and behold, you get your views changed by watching those type of things. So that's what the Greeks had. The theater was a way to influence politically the populace, and that's the way Hollywood is today. So it always has a political bent to it. The Greeks had everybody voted on everything. And if you didn't vote, you were an idiotus, an idiot. And they would meet every day in the agora, the marketplace, and they would make their decisions politically. If you think, well, how did they support their family and their business if they had to be down talking politics every day? Slavery. 40% of Athens was slaves. Now, it wasn't African slaves, but it was other peoples that they had conquered. And there was a guy named Socrates that lived during this time, and Socrates took a stand against what the majority of the people wanted, and so they ordered him killed, and he drank hemlock. And well, he had a student named Plato, and so Plato didn't like democracy and said it was pretty unorganized and chaotic, and Plato wrote a book called The Republic in 380 B.C., and in there Plato talks about society going through five stages: aristocracy, timocracy, oligarchy, democracy, and tyranny. So the first stage was this aristocracy, people that knew how to run farms and businesses, knew how to run government. And he called it rule of the capable. And that's followed by timocracy, which is those that love fame end up ruling. And so, you know, out there in California, you had a famous actor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he had not run a city or a village, actually didn't run any political entity before he became the governor. He was just famous. And so this is what Plato said. You go from the rule of the capable to the rule of the famous, the people that love fame. And that's followed by an oligarchy. So these people that love fame are in office, and all they knew how to do is vote themselves favors and vote their friends favors. And so it causes there to be a little clique. And so it's like the members of Congress vote themselves favors, and they don't have to abide by Obamacare, and they don't have to, you know, buy insurance the same way they vote for everybody else to buy insurance, and they get this special treatment. So this oligarchy of people in a clique voting themselves favors causes the people to get upset, and Plato says the next stage is a democracy, where the people end up taking control, but the only thing the people know how to do is vote themselves favors. And so as the democracy raids the treasury and takes all the state money, it causes the whole thing to sort of crumble, and all the rich people leave to avoid taxes, and then society is in anarchy. And Plato says, out of anarchy will rise a tyrant.
And Chris, that's what Plato said. Democracy always descends into despotism. Democracy always descends into despotism. That's why Sidney Plato abhorred the idea of a democracy. But here you've described, of course, the next step along this way is into a despotism. But go right ahead, William.
So it's aristocracy, timocracy, oligarchy, democracy. And as you mentioned, democracy without virtue ends in chaos, out of which a tyrant arises, and a tyranny. So Plato said the best you can hope for is sometime you'll stumble across a nice tyrant. He called him a philosopher king. And so every tyrant throughout history has claimed that, oh, they're the philosopher king. They're the one that is just going to happen to know how to do things nice. But Plato talks about this philosopher king will take the children away from the parents, and he'll train them up in his own ideas. He said that it's okay for this tyrant to have a noble lie, that he can teach the people a lie. In other words, he doesn't have to say where he's from. He can hide his identity. He can, but he can perpetuate this lie because it helps him to stay in power. And since he's a nice tyrant, then it's okay for him to stay in power. That was what Plato was saying. And of course, we see some of that taking place where we're at today. And
this is really what Plato was advocating, was a so-called just ruler, the man who would suddenly be a philosopher king. And as William has said, that was, of course, what the whole alternative was. The only really efficient means of government was to have this so-called just ruler who would do the right thing all the time. The only trouble is, I don't think there's ever been such a man born, but go right ahead.
Yeah, that every single bloody tyrant throughout history has claimed, oh, I'm the philosopher king, but they're not. Human nature is greedy and selfish, and that's what our founding fathers, John Adams and the others, they just picked Plato apart and says that'll never happen because you power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. If this one person gets all this power, they're going to end up using it for their own benefit, and anybody that challenges them will suffer wrath. Plato was followed by Aristotle, and Aristotle was the one who taught Alexander the Great. Now, how did Athens, this attempt to have a government without a king, how did Athens fall? There was a king to the north of Greece called Philip of Macedon. And Philip of Macedon was conquering cities. And he was going to conquer Athens, but he had an idea. His idea was he would pay propagandists and traders in the agora, the marketplace. So these were citizens of Athens, and they would show up with all the other citizens to talk politics, but these ones were being paid under the table to betray their own city. And so they would gather around themselves useful idiots. That was Lenin's term. And so they would go to the marketplace and talk politics, and they would say, Philip's not conquering these other cities. He's liberating them. And it caused such a confusion that Philip was able to march up to the gates. And in that chaos, confusion, he was able to take over as the tyrant, the dictator. And the people of Athens did not rule themselves again for over 2,000 years. So after the Greeks came the Romans, and then the Byzantines, and the Muslim sultans.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. So basically, Philip of Macedonia was able to...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. call today.
Vroom. He did this simply by having his agents go to the public meetings they held, the public square in Athens, and convince the people that Philip of Macedonia was not going to conquer them. He was there to liberate them from the problems of democracy and all the bickering that went back and forth. And so when of course, Philip's army marched into the city, well, of course, they were welcomed with open arms. And, of course, Philip then had a son. His name was Alexander the Great. And, of course, the Greek people lost their freedom. They were ruled successfully then by suddenly all sorts of subsequent dictators, and certainly by the Ottomans, and certainly by other dictatorships. They really didn't regain their freedom until the 20th century. And they established a democracy in Greece. But now that democracy, of course, faces total disruption because, of course, of the massive debt that they've incurred. They've established a welfare state where the government provides everything for everybody, but there's no money to do it, and so they have massive debts that can never be repaid. And, of course, Greece now is facing the possibility of having to simply forego all of these wonderful democratic benefits and the socialism that goes right along with that. And once again, the Greek people will be enslaved by an all-powerful government. I might point out the current, of course, president or premier of Egypt is a member of the Bilderbergs. He is a member of this wealthy elite that control almost all of Europe. And the Greek people are on the verge of losing their freedom again. Well, of course, then William tracks, you know, the history of mankind, you know, through subsequent generations. And, of course, how all of these ideas, they all sound so good. All the Roman Republic, I mean, the Roman Sydney, the monarchy eventually was overthrown and replaced by a republic. And the republic then, of course, was a very, very successful republic. They had, most people had their property, lived their lives, and there was certainly the Roman Senate. They represented the Roman people. But, of course, eventually, while the senators voted more and more money for themselves, and they became corrupt, and along comes Julius Caesar. You tell the story from there. Now, basically, did Julius Caesar bring his army across the Rubicon, or did he disband it?
Well, in this instance, he disbanded. Now, later he did get the army, and he did come across with it, and that was when he was coming after Pompey. The situation was that Caesar was a senator, and he started sort of like a super Congress. It's called a triumvirate. It was he and a rich guy named Crassus, who was sort of like the George Soros guy that underwrote him, and then another popular politician named Pompey. And so these three guys were sort of like an inner Senate inside the Senate. They were like the super Congress that we're seeing today develop. And when Crassus dies, then it is a contest between Pompey and Caesar. But Caesar needs money, and so he is outside of Rome, and that's when he is marching toward Rome and crosses the Rubicon.
With his army, and he was told not to cross the Rubicon with his army. If he crossed the Rubicon with his army, it would be an act of treason. They were afraid if he returned to Rome with an army, he would seize power.
Right, and so Pompey flees Rome. And Caesar comes into Rome, but Caesar needs money. And so what does he do? He robs the federal treasury, the Temple of Saturn, where they had all the gold and money that was saved up for 500 years in this temple. And nobody touched it, and that's why Pompey didn't even think of touching it. But Caesar raided it, and he used the money to buy supporters. The year was 53 B.C. And so Caesar said, use money to get men. Use men to get money. And so it's sort of like today, the United States is transitioning from a republic into a dictatorship. And we have a president who robs the federal treasury to get money to by supporters. So it's using stimulus money to give to Acorn and SEIU and union contracts, and it's buying these supporters. And
40% of the people don't pay any taxes, and they even get a negative income tax. They don't make enough money. They get payments. Basically, of course, what they're doing is buying the votes of the people. And whenever you can take from Peter to give to Paul, you can always depend upon Paul's vote. That's what it's all about. 40% of our people don't pay any income tax. Or do you think they're going to vote against the hand that feeds them, and that increasing numbers of people are being subsidized? The older people are being subsidized by the federal government, Social Security, and Medicare. Over half of our people are getting government subsidies. William, you go right ahead.
So, Julius Caesar defeats Pompey, and he declares himself dictator for life. And so if you didn't like 600 senators in Rome telling you how to live, now you got one person, Julius Caesar. And he actually changed the calendar. The beginning of the year was March 1st, and he changed it to January 1st. And so we have that today. So it's sort of a... We begin our year January 1st, sort of left over from Caesar. Caesar named a month after himself, and it was Julius Caesar, so he named July. And July only had 30 days, so Caesar took a day from the end of the year, which used to be February, and that's why July has 31. But the next Caesar was Augustus Caesar, and he named a month after himself, August, and it only had 30 days, so he took a day from the end of the year, February. And so that's why February only has 28 days. But Caesar was immensely powerful. He had life and death power over everybody. And the senators decided that they had to kill Caesar to restore the republic. And so on the Ides of March of March 15th of 44 B.C., they surround Caesar and stab him to death. And they thought, well, this is it. We got rid of him, so our republic's going to last. But lo and behold, the people liked Caesar because he gave them millions of dollars to buy their votes every year. And so they were rioting until finally they got Augustus Caesar to come in. And he farmed his triumvirate with, Mark Antony and another guy, Licinius or whatever. And then eventually Octavius or Augustus Caesar made himself emperor and divine Augustus. And so that was the end of the Roman Republic, and then Rome became an empire. And so you see this idea of power concentrating and concentrating and concentrating. And Caesar, you know, back when he seized power, he did class warfare. In other words, he pretended to side with the people against Pompey, who was defending the Republic, which ended up being ruled by the aristocracy and the rich people. So Julius Caesar's mantra was that I'm going to be in favor of the people against those terrible wealthy people, that we need Pazars. They're making too much money, and we need to, go after those rich people with higher taxes. And so he used the common people, and they were ignorant enough to be a lot of themselves to use. And then when Caesar takes over, it's...
Hold that thought. This is Dr. Stan, I guess, is William Federer. He's telling us about his book, and it's a fascinating book. It's well worthwhile having because you need to realize history. And most people don't understand the history of the ancient civilizations or of why Greece was formed or why it was that Plato said democracy always descends into despotism, and then, of course, what happened in Rome, where initially they had a republic, and then, of course, they went from a republic, of course, into the Roman Empire, and they had an emperor. The people wanted an emperor. They wanted a ruler. A self-government under the republic wasn't good enough. They wanted a government that could provide for them from the cradle to the grave. And so in the end, they got one that could provide for them. And it led to, of course, well, William's going to tell you that story. But before we get to that part of the story, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website. And we're going to carry your book. We think it sounds like an excellent one. But how they can get to your book and find out how they get to your website, find out about all the material you have. Go right ahead.
Well, it's AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com. And the book we're talking about tonight, which, as you mentioned, is available through Radio Liberty, is Change to Chains, the 6,000-Year Quest for Control. And I also recently did a DVD series. And so it is a 8-half-hour television program where I discuss this history. So you get a background on what's going on in the world. And when I speak in schools, I'll have the kids hold up a fist in one hand and say concentrated power, and then an open palm with their fingers apart in the other hand say separated power, and then I go back to the fist. And so for most of world history, power was concentrated like a fist into the hands of a pharaoh, a Caesar, a Kaiser, a Sultan, a Tsar, a dictator. And there's been these different attempts to separate the power, but after every crisis, power gradually reconcentrates back into the king, into the dictator's hand.
If I could just say, that's what we have in America. We had at one time a society with a limited federal government. The power of the federal government was limited by the chains of the Constitution. We were a republic, but the wicked people took over control of the government. They took control of the educational system, and they kept chanting over and over again, "We're a democracy. We're a democracy. We're a democracy. We're not a democracy. We're established as a republic. We are. That is still the law of the land. It's just that nobody understands our system. And now we have a government that provides for people from the cradle to the grave. So if you're poor, you're going to get a subsidy from the government. 40% of our people don't pay taxes. We're living on borrowed money. I mean, certainly, right now, we have 56 million people on Social Security and Medicare, another 75 to 79 million retiring, and the government's going to provide for them, except they don't have any money. They're having to borrow 40 cents of every dollar we spend. How long do you think it'll be before we'll be able to spend ourselves into true prosperity? What happens to governments that do what we're doing? Why, it's happened down again and again throughout history, from change, CHANGE, to chains, CHAINS. Please go ahead with the story. Our guest is William Federer. A very important book, because most people don't understand the history of civilization. William, pick up the story. You were telling us now about ancient Rome, ancient Rome having then repudiated this idea of a republic, because they wanted a government that could help them, that was concerned about them, that wanted to do good for them. And, of course, then they repudiated this idea of a republic. And, of course, the senators who had killed Julius Caesar because he had violated the law, he had seized power, he would become the dictator. And now, of course, people had two choices. They could either return to a free society or they could accept another emperor. And they with Julius Caesar gone, why they appointed or accepted the rule of Augustus Caesar. Go right ahead.
And then it was the patronage system. So if you're friends with the Caesar, you're more equal. If you're not friends with the Caesar, you're less equal. And if you're an enemy of the Caesar, you're dead. It's called treason. It's interesting how Rome eventually fell. The Chinese built the Great Wall of China, and that made it so the Huns could no longer attack into China, and they attacked west instead, and it caused a domino effect of tribes having to migrate across Central Asia to get away from the Huns, and these different tribes began to spill over into the Roman Empire. They were the Visigoths and Ostrogoths and Angles and Saxons and Jutes and Lombards, and first they came slow and learned the Latin language and worked as servants. And then they came so fast, they kept their own German, French, and Anglo language, and it broke up the unity of the Roman Empire. Sort of like today, you have all the immigrants coming across, and first they learn English, and then they come over so fast they keep their own Tex-Mex mix, I think. And then Rome had its military stretched around the frontiers to put out all these global fires, and the military got overstretched, and then they had to raise taxes to pay for it all. And so one historian said the tax collector was worse than the barbarian. And so they then had to outsource all their grain production to North Africa. That was the grain basket. And when the Vandals, one of the tribes, came through Rome and then Spain, they captured North Africa, and Rome didn't have any food left. So like today, we've outsourced everything to China, and if they hold their ships back for 3 months, all of our Walmart shelves would be empty, and our retail industry will grind to a halt, and everybody will say, just give them Taiwan, just get our economy going again. But that's what happened in Rome. And then Rome had a lot of immorality. They had exposure of unwanted infants. So a mother would bear the child, lay it at the father's feet. If he picked it up and liked it, they'd keep it. If not, she had to get rid of it and put it in a box outside. Then it would be exposed to the elements, and it's called exposure. It was their version of abortion. And they had homosexual bathhouses in the gymnasiums. I went to school in Rome and college, and we toured the ruins, and the slaves would be under the floor soaking the jacuzzis to keep them bubbling, and these bathhouses, these gymnasiums were you know, a bunch of naked men ran around and all kinds of immorality, and they had gluttony. And the ruins of one of these buildings that had a vomitorium, and they would fill up and then tickle their throat with a feather and empty themselves and do it again. And actually, one of the Roman emperors didn't come back from the vomitorium, and he gagged on his own stuff and ended up dying. But a lot of sensual pleasures, a lot of giving into these lusts and these passions. And so Rome was headed in this direction. And then they had terrorist attacks, Attila the Hun wiping out whole cities. And they thought he was the Antichrist. Matter of fact, he set up a tent on the hill, and he destroyed an entire city. And the people fled out into the swamps and hammered trees down, and that turned into the city of Venice. That's how they started that city. But Attila the Hun was scourging Europe. He was marching on Rome in 453 B.C., and Pope Leo goes out and meets Attila the Hun and talks about sacking Rome and basically buys another 20 years for Rome, and finally Rome is sacked by the Visigoths in 476 A.D., and that is when the Rome ended. And so we see that the Republic turned into an empire with Julius Caesar, and then the empire eventually got overrun and wiped out by the ingredients that I just told. But in my book, Change to Chains, I continue to go through history. And where we have the kings and the pharaohs and the Caesars and the Kaisers and the Sultans and the Tsars, I point out some of the other attempts to have rulership without a king. And there was Swiss cantons, these cities up in the mountains that were ruled in little sort of communities, little republics. But it was usually on a very small level where you could do a democracy on a citywide level. But once it got beyond a city, you were dependent on information to know how to vote, because you were so far away, you had to wait for somebody to tell you. And so whoever told you slanted it one way or the other. And so that's why in a country where people rule themselves, if it's anything larger than a city, it's not necessarily the people, it's the information. And so I described how in America, the country is controlled by laws. Laws are controlled by politicians. Politicians are controlled by voters. Voters are controlled by public opinion. And public opinion is formed by the media and education.
And that's really why people of great wealth, those people who want an all-powerful government, have bought up the media. This is why they've bought up our universities and established chairs there and provide the funds so the educational establishment teaches the American people exactly what we are to learn, and this is why most people believe we are a democracy. We're not. We're a republic. This is why most people are taught in college, as I was, that we should look to government to provide for the people, because after all, if the government wasn't there to provide for the people, they would all starve to death. There'd be no medical care. There'd be no education, where we would have drugs that were dangerous for people and were killing them. We had to look to government to protect us. This is what we teach in our schools, and so many of our young people come out and really believe all these things. Well, fortunately, some of them learn they're not true, but by then they're usually getting along in 8 years. But, of course, by controlling the education and information, you're able to control the people so they will vote as they're told to vote. Go right ahead.
So sort of like the Greek theater where they're, you know, they form. I tell people it's like a child in a home. It doesn't take little Johnny long to realize daddy's got the final say, but I got to go through mommy to get to daddy. Or I got to nag big sister, and big sister will go and bother mom, and then mom will go in and pull daddy's chain. It's like if a little innocent kid can figure out where the power sits in the home and who he has to manipulate to get his way, it's not that hard to realize that somebody's figured out in America the power sits with the laws. But how do you get there? Through politicians, through voters, through public opinion, through the media and education. And that's why your program, Dr. Stan, is so important, because it's an alternative media to get people educated. But we see that Rome fell, and in my book I go through, there were Italian city-states, sort of noblemen republics, and there were the noblemen in each city, and they got to make the decisions. And again, there was no handbook on how to have a government without a king, so they'd do different experiments. Then there was Novgorod, a city in Russia that for several hundred years was a republic. They withstood the Mongols, and they would get together in their city square, and they would yell for their candidate. And the candidate that got the loudest yell was the one that was elected, you know. But finally, Ivan the Fourth conquered Novgorod and killed like 30,000 people. And they, in the Russia, never again had a chance to have a republic. Then you look at Iceland, had an Icelandic commonwealth, and they had different tribes with different judges that would be over the different tribes, and, you know, they had sort of different courts, and again, it was their attempt to have a rulership without a king, and it worked, until finally the king of Denmark conquered Iceland, and they no longer had that chance again. Then there was the Seven United Netherlands. Spain was going to attack, and so the Holland, these provinces united, and during the Golden Age of Holland, they had settlements in New Amsterdam, which became New York, and Dutch Guyana and Aruba. They had South Africa. They had Goa in India. They had Indonesia. They had an island off the coast of Japan. They were this powerful merchant military culture, but they did not have a king. And you think, well, how did they get the money together without taxes? And so they invented a way to accumulate money without taxes. It was called the Amsterdam Stock Exchange, where people would invest money. And when they founded New Amsterdam, they had a New Amsterdam Stock Exchange, and then when the British took it over, it turned into New York, and so that was the New York Stock Exchange. So our stock exchange is sort of a remnant that was left over from the Dutch Republic. But also, if you're investing in a ship that's going over to Japan, it might sink, and so that is when the Dutch invented insurance companies. And so that's another remnant from the Dutch Republic. But they were eventually conquered. And by Napoleon, there was the, a couple different, you know, cities in India. We don't know a whole lot about, but they evidently didn't have a king for a while. And then they were finally conquered by a king. And, but as far as Western civilization goes, I trace it all in the book. Then there was England. England was a monarchy. And there were the Puritans that had a revolution in England. And they chopped off Charles I's head. And Cromwell was the Lord Protector of England. And for 15 years, England did not have a king. And they ruled themselves with the Long Parliament. And then Cromwell ended up canceling it and sort of making himself a dictator. But they brought back Charles II into England. And after they brought back Charles II in England, they said, you know, instead of it being the divine right of kings, and you're supposed to have a king, we did rule ourselves for 15 years without a king, so maybe king is sort of optional, and it's just that we don't know how to have a government that's any different than a king. And but after Charles II came back, the people limited the monarch. He didn't have quite the same freedoms that he had before. But then America comes along, and every colony sort of experimented with their own version of how to have a government with a distant king. You had company colonies that were investors in England that put money into it. And then you had proprietary colonies where the king gave the colony as a present to some guy like William Penn. All of Pennsylvania was a present to him, you know. And then there were royal colonies, but the king was sort of an absentee landlord. He didn't really care about the colonies. He just was worried about his kingdom in England, and as long as there was some tax money every now and then coming back, he sort of let them do their own thing. And so because there was a 3,000-mile ocean, the people in America got a chance to experiment, and we then finally fought a revolution, and we formed our form of government with our U.S. Constitution. And we took the power of a king and separated it into three branches, separated federal to state level, and then tied up this new federal government with 10 handcuffs we call the First 10 Amendments. So,
and we restricted the power of government. This is the only country where there's been an organized effort to restrict the power of government so men could be free, remembering that liberty and limited government are synonymous. Tyranny and total government are synonymous. Which direction are we headed today? Towards total government control over everything. Well, William, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
So if you can picture a line, and on one side of the spectrum is
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States.
It sounds like it's something every one of us should see. William, thank you so very much for being with us. Really appreciate it. Look forward to having you address all of our other offices, all of our other programs. Good night. God bless.
Thank you.
And I think, of course, the important thing that William is bringing out is the fact that you cannot have a free society as we had at one time without Christian morality. Christian morality is the cornerstone of freedom, for where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Remove the Spirit of the Lord and integrity, and you will end up with a necessity for a dictatorship, which is where we're headed today. Well, this is the time I need to remind our listeners first that we're having an all-day conference on the 23rd of October here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay. Great speakers coming. It'll start at 8:30 in the morning. Doors will open at 7:30. We'll start at 8:30. We'll go through to 5:30 or 6. Hope that you can come. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, to make your reservations. And then, of course, we hope that many of you there will get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand the spiritual forces behind the people who are working to utilize the financial and military power of the United States to bring about this world government. So you have basically two forces in America. You have one force that wants people want to be free. You have another force that wants to use America and is using America to bring about a world dictatorship and install a world ruler, which was the thesis put forward by Plato. Well, basically, of course, if you want to understand what's going on today, you should hear my talk on the dark secret and on the forbidden secret. They both come with syllabuses. They're separate talks. If you want to hear my talk on the world revolution, my interview with Ambassador E.T. Smith, the American ambassador in Cuba at the time of the Cuban Revolution, you need to get David Rockefeller's memoirs to understand, of course,